Welcome to The Voice of Retail. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc. This podcast is brought to you in conjunction with Retail Council of Canada. Eric Morris, Managing Director of Google Canada Retail, is back on the podcast sharing the latest research looking at some of the changing consumer habits we could expect from shoppers this holiday season and practical tips for retailers to finish strong through to 2023 and beyond. Let's listen in now. Eric, welcome back to the Voice of Retail podcast. How are you doing, my friend?
Michael, it's great to hear you again. Thanks for having me.
I feel like some days like I'm Johnny Carson and you're the reoccurring guest who's a favorite. I think this is three or four times you've been on the podcast over time. So it's really wonderful to have you back and tap into your wisdom again.
Well, flattery will get you everywhere. And I mean, in all seriousness, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so listen, it's about time. We're in the middle of holiday. You guys got some insights that can even, I think, even help the listeners and retailers today. So they're successful even tomorrow because you have some great insights. But let's start at the beginning for, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, who hasn't heard of Eric Morris? I don't know, in the retail business. But for those one or two people that you maybe knew of or my international audience, who are you and what do you do for a living?
Great. Well, I lead the retail practice here at Google Canada, and my team works with the largest, call it 30 or 40 retailers or brands in Canada. So think of large, you know, omnichannel retailers in the general merchandise or grocery space. So think like a Walmart, Canadian Tire, Sobeys. We work with the direct-to-consumer retailers, you know, think Lululemon, Canada Goose, online-only retailers in Canada, the furniture company Article or Rove in Vancouver, Essence, the luxury retailer in Montreal. And we also work with the Canadian tech companies that are powering much of retail today. So think Shopify and Lightspeed would be good examples of those. So we work with all of these retail partners to help them drive more sales, whether it's sales online, sales in store through Google Search, YouTube, Maps, et cetera, and help them build their brands.
And when you get up in the morning, what do you do? Because I know at Google and the retail business, like how big, what's your, not so much your scope, but how big's your team? How do you go to market? Just for those who kind of don't have that firsthand experience with your team, tell us a little bit more about what you, like in the morning, what'd you do this morning when you got up other than wiping snow off the windshield? Thank God for that. But what do you get up in the morning and do? What's your kind of objectives?
Well, I think, and it's really timely. We're talking, you know, holiday now. I mean, Google really is, you know, in aggregate, database of intentions, right? We have, you know, again, in aggregate, anonymized, a really interesting view into what, you know, Canadians are interested in, how they want to be entertained, and what they want to buy. And so I think, like, ultimately, a big part of what I do and what my team does is help retailers make sense of what Canadians are thinking about, what they want to watch, what they want to buy, and where they want to buy it from, and connect those insights to, you know, ultimately the business objectives that retailers are trying to achieve, whether it's to get more people into their store, to whether it's to, you know, bring in new customers, upsell existing customers, cross-sell them into new products, sell online, or even just increase awareness and consideration of those retailers. So again, it's really about connecting like the insights that we see across this country and across the industry with what retailers are trying to do. And we have, you know, call it probably 60 to 80 folks here who work exclusively on retailers. And so they are account managers helping retailers push buttons and make the most of the platform we have. Data scientists who are really helping retailers comb through all of that rich data on the website, Google Search, YouTube, to sort of distill insights from a large data set and help them make better decisions.
So basically, you're almost like a force multiplier for what you can do on your own, right? Some of that stuff you can get on your own, but really you guys hone in on the key insights and help retailers kind of, you know, pay attention to the really, really important numbers and trends and that kind of thing. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. I mean, Google in general is a force, you know, multiplier. We have a, you know, whether it's, you know, consumers looking to get informed or educated about, you know, anything, down to businesses who are, you know, trying to make the most of, you know, Google Search and Google Maps and YouTube. Right. We make a lot of these services, you know, self-serve. Any business, big or small, can do a lot of things on their own. We provide an additional level of service for the largest partners, you know, in this country to sort of supercharge their team. And again, to, you know, convert these, like the data and the insights into something actionable to help them drive their business.
Well, let's talk about, I want to talk all about holiday. You guys have got some great insights to share just about specific holiday and retail. But let's talk about the world of Google for a bit, you know, before we get to holiday. How are you feeling about the year that was? We're closing a crazy, I don't know, post-COVID world, whatever world we're living in. So things are settling down to be a bit more normal, whatever that means. Are you finding in general retailers are taking advantage of the tools? I mean, we've seen them trying to understand e-commerce numbers kind of flattening and resuming back to a normal growth. We've seen strong store numbers. But how are you feeling about the tools that Google is offering and the work you're doing for, you know, if you're sitting in front of whoever you're sitting in front of as an annual review, what would your highlights be for you in the retail sector for 2022?
Well, you know, I don't think it's any understatement to say it's been a hell of a year. And a year that I don't think played out as many had hoped or expected, and a lot more volatility than any of us were counting on. And I think at the start of the year, you know, look, we were still in lockdown. Yeah. I think my kids were still home at the start of the school year in January.
It wasn't like 5 years ago. That was like within the past 12 months. As we were talking off mic, it's like a collective amnesia about a terrible thing. We've kind of just put it away.
A collective amnesia. And you have to sort of remind yourself, was that 2020, 2021? Right, it was actually 2022. We started this year with, you know, more COVID restrictions, you know, than not. And over the course of the year, it felt like we went from exuberance around a potential sort of roaring 20s to, I think, maybe a lot less optimism and more pessimism, whether it's rising inflation, war, you know, really, really heavy and existential things that have had placed a giant weight on all of us in a very personal, emotional way, and not to mention, you know, our business. I think if I were to sort of summarize, I think in the early days of the pandemic, when all if not most stores were closed, offices were closed, and we were living and working at home, many of us, you know, as workers, consumers, retailers, it was very much a shared experience. We were all at home, and we were not going to stores, and we were not going to offices, and we're all shopping online, and so we lived it was a forcing function, and it was a very, very hard pivot from the world we all knew. And a shared experience for everyone. And I think now what we're seeing is we sort of come out of that, and we're not quite out of it. You know, there's still a lot of COVID to be had. Yeah. But I think...
And other things now, like now there's a flu epidemic and we got RSV. I mean, you know.
Yeah. So that, you know, all that to say there's a lot going on in the health world. And so I think there's, you know, more variants that, you know, consumers, workers, and retailers, you have some companies that have remained digital by default, like a Shopify. Yeah.
More variants. I see what you did there, by the way. Very clever.
And then you have others. I mean, at Google, for, you know, if listeners are curious, we're in the office, you know, probably on average 3 days a week. Okay. But it's an experience that varies. And I think, you know, if we sort of shift to retail and to e-commerce, you know, as you point out, retail accelerated during the pandemic. It's come down as stores have reopened, but we still remain at elevated levels and above historical levels. In Canada, retail, you know, e-commerce represents about 15% of total retail sales in this country. So it's gone up, but different retailers who sell different things and may have a different store footprint have experienced sort of a different growth rate and a different potentially rebalancing between what's happening online and in-store.
And, you know, very relevant to our conversation, but I'm sure your colleagues who oversee the travel and tourism business at Google would be having amazing days in 2022 versus not amazing days at all earlier. But and that does account for things, right? This behavioral shift from I'm at home, I'm going to buy stuff, I need a new couch because I'm at home more often. Now I want to travel again. I want experiences. I want to dine out. So you must, in the bigger world of Google, when you sit around the table with your counterparts, you must hear those stories as well, yeah?
Well, we do. There's someone like me working with travel and with banks and the automotive industry. And if you think of it as a giant sort of a stock portfolio or mutual fund, I mean, it really is an interesting read into the broader economy. And you will have puts and takes. You will have industries that are growing and accelerating. You will have industries that are slowing and not. And so it's a really interesting read, you know, on the economy. I think travel is interesting. And I think, you know, it's really important to disaggregate averages. So, yes, the average, you know, on average, e-commerce represents 15% of total retail sales in this country. For some retailers, it's 100%. Omnichannel retailers, it's well above 50%.
Sure.
You have some retailers where it's very, very low single digits.
Like in the grocery, right? I mean, it went up from, I think it was like a point and a half or 1.5%. It's probably, maybe you know better, but I think it's probably in the 3 to 4 to 5 range now, but it's not 15.
It's not 15. Right? And so we're still low relative to sort of peer markets, but are well above historical averages. Mm-hmm. And all this is to say, I think it's really important in retail to sort of unpack these averages. And even when we talk about travel or how much Canadians have saved during the pandemic, in aggregate, that's true. Consumers have saved, and that may be an interesting signal that even with inflation or a slowing economy, Canadians can continue to save. Mm-hmm. But different Canadians have a different level of savings from each other. And so while some Canadians can go on a vacation and buy a new sofa, there are a lot of Canadians that have to make a choice between one or the other, or frankly, can't do either.
Yeah.
So while travel in aggregate may be growing, these trends impact different different Canadians differently.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was reflecting back to the last time you and I spoke, and one of the questions that we explored, and you and I have known each other for a bunch of years, is, you know, this idea that in the early days, and I was speaking on the podcast with someone, we were talking about how I went down to this conference in the U.S. in 98, and these people were talking about this new thing called Google, and I came back to Toronto in 99, and I go, we got to get all over this. This could be big someday. And everybody's, those are some quirky couple of college guys. I don't think this will be anything. So, you know, the OG days of search was, if initially just paid attention, you could be a big winner. Then it became, if you worked hard and you developed some expertise, you could really, really win. But more and more, you know, as time went on, the skills became, you know, it became hard to differentiate yourself and hard to really to win, particularly for the small guys. And you and I talked about that. And so I'm curious as to how you're thinking about that. It was almost about a year ago, but I know it was on your mind as well to make sure that, you know, this advantage would come back in some way, shape, or form. How are you feeling about that today?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting thought. I've been at Google for just over 20 years, and so maybe I'll share some experience here. I think pre-Google and pre-internet, if you think about the ways that retailers would build their brands or drive sales, and you think television or flyer or newspaper, outdoor ads, right? Those channels generally favored the largest retailers in the world with the biggest budgets, the most cash flow, strong partner network, right? Agencies or otherwise, and really favored the biggest retailers and businesses in the world. One of the interesting things about Google, I believe, in the earliest days is it really did democratize advertising and direct response advertising specifically. So there was no minimum ad spend. You could work with an agency, you could do it on your own and set up a campaign for a dollar a day and run it on your credit card if you like. There were no discounts, and there remain no discounts in the Google search ads auction based on how much you spend or how much you commit to Google. Every retailer competes for attention based on the keyword and the relevance of their ad. So I think in many ways, Google did democratize direct response advertising. And I think that remains the case today. And I think there's other ways that we've helped democratize. I'll give you a few examples. So I think something like Google Analytics, right? So analytics is the way that retailer or business can understand their website traffic and where it's coming from and which devices, and understand, you know, where people where people enter the site, where they drop off, do they abandon the cart? I mean, really rich insights. That used to be very expensive software. I mean, you would know this from your previous life. And today, you know, that is software that's offered for free by Google. So we've really democratized the insights that retailers have based on their own business. And I think whether it's, you know, Think with Google, which is, you know, the, basically the free research and case studies that, that we provide, Google Trends, where we make it available to anyone, what searches are rising, what are trending products on Google in Canada, all of that information is available to free. It's not based on a subscription. It's not just given to our biggest partners. So I think those are other examples of places where we've tried to democratize information and our tools, you know, hosting of videos on YouTube, a Google Maps listing, even organic search on Google. All of these things are free and available to anyone. And we want retailers, big and small, to be able to use all of these.
Well, and maybe you can send me some links and I'll put them in the show notes just in case somebody isn't aware of the latest things. Because you're right, there's a great set of resources. All right, let's turn.
Michael, what I'll add to that is, you know, that being said, I think digital, you get what you give. And so, you know, and maybe to liken it to, you know, the financial services industry, you know, if you just want to buy stocks or buy a mutual fund on your own, you can do that. If you want to spend a lot of time researching stocks and optimizing your portfolio, you can do that. If you want to work with an investment advisor to get additional advice, you can do that as well. Digital, I really do believe you get what you give. You can increasingly lean heavily into the automated solutions and insights that Google and others provide. But the retailers who increasingly differentiate and win are the ones who invest more time. And so whether they have the in-house expertise, and so, you know, there's lots of ways to differentiate, but one of which is just care and time. And I think the more that you give, the more that you will get with digital. So that can be an advantage to a large retailer who may have a marketing team. They may have a digital team. Mm-hmm. Whereas a smaller retailer, it could be owner, operator, and they have to think about Google and search and social. In addition to operating the store and doing payroll and ordering products, et cetera. So that is the one place that I still worry about a little bit, that many retailers in this country don't have the expertise in-house and are sort of ill-prepared for this continued acceleration and importance of digital.
All right. Well, those are great perspectives. And as I said, you know, it's a good discussion about the difference between how differentiators become table stakes over time, right? That constant search for differentiators and how much you need and should be paying attention to digital. I mean, that, you know, the argument is over whether it's important or not. It's how much time you can dedicate it to it. So now we turn to the interesting stuff about holidays. So, you know, we're recording this in mid-November. So holidays on, right? We're in the middle of the marathon that is holidays. So if you could talk about some learnings you're seeing today that can help our retailers and the listeners get across that finish line and in a winning pace, and then we'll talk about 2023. But right now, if you're listening to this podcast, give us some things you're noticing, and maybe from that some things that you advise retailers to do.
Yeah, well, I think at the highest level, you know, I would break down holiday into, you know, three distinct phases, and I think different retailers execute differently against each phase. The first part is sort of that early holiday shopping demand, and we really see it. I mean, it depends a little bit on the retailer category, but we really see it at Google in Canada picking up, you know, starting in September, right around back to school, right? More queries for apparel. Fall fashion, I mean, you name it, right? But commercial queries and shopping starts to pick up right around back to school. So there's that early holiday demand starts around Labor Day and sort of continues a slow build, you know, in September, October, and into November. It accelerates very quickly in November. And then we come to that second phase, which are those peak days, which used to be Cyber Monday. It then became Black Friday, Cyber Monday, a Cyber Weekend. And now it feels like it's, you know, a week or two of very heightened consumer demand and retailer interest, but it's about winning those peak days. So retailers, there's the early holiday season, that's part one. There's part two, which is winning sort of the peak days around Cyber Week. And the third phase is everything that happens afterwards. It's not like Canadians just stop shopping. in store, online, after Cyber Monday or Cyber Week.
Right.
There's very heavy consumer interest and retailer interest in early December. And then it continues to build heading into Boxing Day and a lot of last minute shopping, whether it's apparel, toys, other categories, right through to the end of the year. So for a retailer, it really is about winning each of those three key moments. And I'd say different retailers execute differently, and best in class is certainly winning all three. So that's sort of like the timing of it all. I think that the trends that we've observed, look, during COVID, Canadians are increasingly open-minded to new brands and to shopping with new retailers. So we've been surveying Canadians and how they shop online in Canada since the start of COVID, and we've been doing it every 2 weeks, ask them what they buy and where they buy from, and is it online, is it in store, is it both? And so our latest stat as of September, right, 54% of Canadians surveyed said that in the last month they shopped with a new retailer.
Wow.
And so,
wow, that's a big really, number, man. That's a big number. 54%.
It's a big number. It's a big number. And it's up from, you know, 36% about 18 months ago. We've seen it continue to rise during COVID. I think in the earliest days, stores were closed. We had new needs. Makes a lot of sense that we would be open-minded to shopping with new retailers.
Yeah.
I think today the story could be, you know, we continue to have new needs. But I think an increasingly price-conscious Canadian, you know, more importantly, we're thinking about value, and we're thinking about how much things cost, and that may dictate more than ever where we buy things from and what we buy. And so we've observed, you know, over the last, you know, few months that, you know, searches in Canada for Canadians looking to price match are up 700%.
Wow.
Right? Searches for discount code.
Now, when you say up 700%, is that year over year? Like, what's your time?
It's year over year, yeah. So it's the same time period as last year. So I think there's a lot of things that are the same. Canadians are going to shop online. They're going to research online to inform the things they buy. But increasingly, we have a Canadian shopper that is looking for value more than ever, right? 80 times increase in searches for Canadians looking for gifts by price. Right. So we're trying to narrow down the gifts that we buy this holiday season into a specific price range. And so I think that's really important for retailers, not just in terms of, like, you know, the ads they run, but even if you think of those like shopping guides, you know, sent out by email or that appear on the website. I think it's a really good tip for retailers. It may sound obvious in this moment that they're price conscious, but make it really, really easy for Canadians to narrow down what they want to buy this holiday season by price once they get to your website.
Well, it is in one way obvious, but if we cast our mind again back to last holiday season, it was more about availability than it was price in some ways, right? It was who has it, who can get it to me, or who can get it to me, and it sounds
I agree. And so, you know, when you sort of reflect on the last few years, right, holiday shopping started earlier every year, each of the last probably 3 or 4 years, whether it's Amazon having a Prime Day in October. I mean, many years ago, they had their first in Canada in October. Early days of the pandemic, we're all shopping online. Can Canada Post deliver all of these little packages in time?
Right.
Supply chain issues. I mean, there really was, these were all forcing functions to encourage us to shop early. And so as we try and understand sort of the sentiment of Canadians today, open question, is there still that same kind of urgency to shop early? And I'm not sure there is.
I'm not seeing
retailers,
it.
There aren't supply issues. They're flush with inventory. Canadians know it. So getting what I want by Christmas isn't going to be an issue. There are deals today. It's unlikely the deals get worse. It's probably a higher probability they get better. And the weather, right? Listen to any retailer's earnings call. Weather's always been an important factor. It was 20 degrees, you know, in Toronto and Montreal, I think, last week.
Right.
And so all of these things impact the sentiment of Canadians, not just what they buy, but when they buy it. And so perhaps shifting holiday purchases that may have happened in October in prior years later into the holiday shopping season into November and December this year. So that's certainly one trend that we're following closely with our retail partners.
Let's talk, as we wrap up and then we'll get on to 2023. Let's talk about video, because there's been a lot of buzz in the media, the retail media, and a lot of buzz at conferences. You and I are no doubt attending on live video, but video in general. It's not like video is new. YouTube is such an important platform. Is it more important now to communicate and to tell stories and to get out there in the video medium? Is that more important now than it was before, or is it just equally important? What are your thoughts on that?
It's more important now. One of the trends we observed during COVID, and one of those durable trends that that has stuck, is that we consume a lot more video online than we used to. And so, from the earliest days of the pandemic, we saw YouTube watch time on YouTube. Right, Canadians were watching 35% more video on YouTube than they were before the pandemic, and those trends have stuck. How we watch video has changed. It's not just on our tablets and phones. Right, 16 million Canadians now are watching YouTube on their big screen TV, and so it's increasingly a media where we spend more time, and it's a far more immersive experience than it used to be. Shopping online historically, I would liken it to sort of spearfishing, almost like very efficient, maybe too efficient for some process, where I know exactly what I want to buy, and I go to Google and I search for it, and who can get it to me the quickest and at the lowest price. And then you click on a blue link and you buy it. And over the last few years, what we've observed is, Canadians consuming more videos, retailers leaning into that experience, and frankly, creating a shopping experience that's more entertaining and immersive and better suited for discovery. So influencing Canadians earlier on in the process, when they maybe haven't made up their mind exactly what they want to buy and where they want to buy it from. So whether it's things like shopping hauls or unboxings or product reviews, all of these shopping-related videos in Canada are up 30, 40, 100% year over year in terms of Canadians watching them versus the same time last year. Right? Canadians are increasingly turning to YouTube, right, to discover the products they want to buy. 70% of Canadians have said, right, that they've bought a product and bought from a retailer after watching a video on YouTube. Wow. So to answer your question, it's increasingly very, very important for any retailer to be there, to produce the content if they can, to make it discoverable, not just on YouTube, but know that even on your own website as a retailer, video is important. And if possible, to align with content creators, influencers, whether it's sponsorship, advertising. There's all sorts of ways to get closer to those content creators who, again, are increasingly influencing Canadians in terms of what they buy.
What are you and the team's thoughts on the length of the videos? Because you've got a new feature. I'm on my YouTube homepage here today. There's a new feature with shorts and a shorter form of video. Are people's attention spans? I guess it's one of those things, if they're interested, they'll watch it for longer. So it's one of those hard to answer questions. But any thoughts on the duration?
It's interesting. One of the things we've observed at YouTube for the last couple of years is that people either watch really short video or really long videos. my answer is, it really depends on the content and the audience. And one of the great things about digital, video included, is that retailers and brands have an opportunity to experiment. So it's not uncommon for a retailer we work with, right? They have a 30-second spot. They'll cut it down to 15. They'll cut it down to 6 seconds. They'll upload it to YouTube. They'll run a campaign. And they'll be able to essentially show the right video at the right length to the right user at the right time and get all the reporting back to see, like, which one was more popular, which one saw more engagement, people sticking around to the end, which one actually drove people to the retailer site after watching it. So those are all analytics that we and other platforms, frankly, can provide. And so whenever a retailer has those questions, my answer is, well, we should experiment. Don't make any assumptions going in. Let's run different formats, experiment, and see which one works better for different types of audiences.
It's great advice. Last question for you, casting our minds to 2023. What's on your mind is, I'm sure you guys are in planning, both product and focus, but even in a dynamic industry like retail, you're thinking ahead. What's on your mind?
Probably two or three things. I think the first is that I think it's not uncommon for Google and for digital to be sort of synonymous with e-commerce. And I think that's a mistake. And I think certainly what we've observed over the last few years, and we're certainly observing it, this holiday season, right? Searches for physical stores on Google Maps have tripled over the last year. Not a surprise as stores have reopened. But I just think it's a point worth reinforcing. Digital and e-commerce aren't the same. Digital plays an important role in e-commerce, but probably a more important role influencing the things that we buy in store. And so while there's lots of focus always in this industry on, you know, what's the growth rate of e-commerce and was the COVID bump, was it durable or did everything just go back to the way it was? To me, that's not really the point. Point is that, you know, digital increasingly influences not just the things we buy online, but the things we buy in stores. And the retailers, you know, best positioned to win this holiday season and next year and the years beyond are the ones who think customer first and not channel first, and take, again, that customer-centric view, and be there where their customer is, again, whether it's buying online or shopping in store. So I think that's probably the first point. I think the second, and it's really important as it feels like the economy has changed, is digital does provide sort of this unique ability to measure, you know, the business impact, right? To measure brand engagement, to measure how many people open an email, how many people buy something on your website, how many people visit your site and then go into your store. These are all solvable problems today. And I think in a world where, you know, retailers are going to be in a lot of under a lot of pressure to maintain share, to grow share, to defend their margin, right? It's all the more important that the things that they're doing online can be measured. And so, you know, we always encourage the retailers we work with, right, understand the economic impact that your marketing campaigns, your email campaigns have, the economic impact that your website has, whether it's to drive sales online, in store, deliver new customers, cross-sell. Again, these are solvable problems. And the more that a retailer can measure and connect this activity to true business outcomes, the better position they'll be to not just win the holiday season, but, you know, win the years ahead. And the last thing I'd say is, and it sometimes can feel really hard, is to choose optimism. And I think it's hard, this year and really over the last few years, but it's not hard to be overwhelmed by a lot of bad news in this industry and in the world around us. And I think it's incumbent on all of us to take a balanced perspective, right? It's never as good as the good times. It's never as bad as those bad times. And I think more challenging moments provide an opportunity. COVID certainly did for some retailers. Mm-hmm. And I think it's incumbent on retailers to sort of, you know, not to be distracted, to choose optimism, and to take, frankly, a measured approach. There's a lot of things happening to us that we can't control. It's on us to focus on the things that we can control and use this moment to lean into those and to ultimately win the moment.
Well, wise advice from an executive. And in case the listeners missed that chestnut, you've been there almost 20 years, and Google hasn't been around much longer than that. So you've seen a lot. You're not just jumping in and reading a bunch of research papers and trying to provide advice based on someone else's experience. This is your experience. So really appreciate you joining me on the Voice Retail Podcast once again. And I look forward to talking to you in 2023, see how things start to roll out. But until then, thanks again so much for sharing your wisdom and insights. And we'll put any links in the show notes to some of those things. And thanks. Have yourself and your family a great rest of your holiday. And I'll see you on the other side of retail.
Thank you very much, Ian, for having me. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for tuning into this special episode of The Voice of Retail. If you haven't already, be sure and click and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so new episodes will land automatically twice a week. And check out my other retail industry media properties, The Remarkable Retail Podcast, Conversations with Commerce Next Podcast, and The Food Professor Podcast with Dr. Sylvain Charlebois. Last but not least, if you're into barbecue, check out my all-new YouTube barbecue show, Last Request Barbecue, with new episodes each and every week. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc, president of ME LeBlanc Company and Maven Media. And if you're looking for more content or want to chat, follow me on LinkedIn or visit my website at meleblanc.co. Have a safe week, everyone.